Innovative, thoughtful, provocative. Welcome to The Soul Speaks on the EX3 Radio Network with your host, Lynn Renee.
Welcome to The Soul Speaks. I'm your host, Lynn Renee, on the EX3
Office
Radio Network.
I'm all the gear you need to get your small business going.
I hope you're having a wonderful evening.
Sorry, we're having a little difficulty here,
but anyway, hope you're having a wonderful evening. We're looking forward to a great time with you.
This offer at your local Office Depot or Office Max to redeem Mercedes. Office Depot and Office Max. Gear up for great. Excludes technology. Valid in select stores only. Click ad for participating locations and details. M712.
Welcome to The Soul Speaks. I'm your host, Lynn Renee, on the EX3 Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to a great conversation with you tonight. Looking forward to hearing your soul's expression. Don't forget, we will open up the lines tonight for you to call in and tell us what you think, give your expression. I want you to take note of the number to call in, 929-477-3860. Press 1. If you're listening on the web, there's a section for comments. Please place your comments there or make use of the chat room. Do us a favor and like our Facebook page. That's on facebook.com, The Soul Speaks, LRM. So we are going to have a very special guest tonight, but before I introduce our guest, I want to have a short heart-to-heart with you. Something I've been thinking about, and I'd just like to take a few moments to share with you what that was. And I was thinking about those that love to dish it out but can't take it. And this has caused a lot of problems. And what I thought about is how we have those that love to talk but not listen. You know, I was listening to a few conversations, and the person was just beating up on the other person, making snide remarks and, you know, just a bunch of negativity. Well, I took note of when the person said something back to them, they got offended. And I thought to myself, how is it that, you know, we don't take note of the things that we say to people, and some of us feel like we can say anything that we want to people, and, you know, we're not concerned about their feelings. And then, you know, if that person responds to us in a way that we don't appreciate, or if it, you know, if it hurts us, we get offended by it, we get upset. And I was just surprised at that. If you are the type of person that you're sensitive, I think that you should take note that others are sensitive and be respectful of that and not say the things to someone that you would not want said to you. You cannot holler and scream and, you know, be the victim after you have just been quite rude and have said all you wanted to say to the other person. So I just wanted to mention that so that we would be mindful of the kinds of things that we're saying to others. You know, you don't want to do to someone else what you would want have done to you. So stop complaining that other people are doing things to you that you find disrespectful when you find yourself doing the same thing. So I just wanted to bring that up and have us to be conscious of the kinds of things that we say to one another. Take the time to listen to one another and respect one another's opinions. You know, keep in mind that hurt people hurt people. So let's examine ourselves and see if we're the type of person that, you know, are not sensitive to others and we say whatever we want to say and not think about it. And then we find ourselves hurt when that person responds in like manner. So I just want to say, examine yourself. And if you are that type of person, let's just get to work on change. You deserve to truly be loved and to love. And with that being said, we're going to enter into our topic, domestic violence. We have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Miss Amelia Miller. She's the CEO of an organization called Caring is Doing for Others. She is one of the authors of a book of short stories called Love Said, Not So. And another book is expected to come out soon. She is a Christ-conscious woman, and that's evident in the work that she does. Good evening, Amelia.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, Amelia. How are you tonight?
Wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for coming on to the show to share with others about yourself, your organization, and all that you're doing, and the fact that you are a woman of Christ and the work that you do. It's amazing. Your organization reminds me of when Christ said, you know, if you see my brother hungry, feed him. If you see my sister or, you know, a person that's homeless, shelter them. And you truly are a person that is out there doing the work. So, Amelia, tell us a little bit about your vision for Caring is Doing for Others.
Okay, Caring is Doing for Others actually is definitely a nonprofit organization, domestic violence organization. We're committed to making a difference in the lives of domestic abuse survivors and their families. We are dedicated to educating, encouraging, and empowering. And we also provide basic necessities to abuse victims and their families as they struggle to make a difficult transition to a life free from abuse. So women and their children that have been abused, we want to be there to help them in any way possible, whether it's to gain a higher education, help them with life skills, and again, providing basic necessities. Also, in community, educating the community. Tongue getting a little twisted here.
What makes you so passionate about what you're doing? And I say that because what you're doing is a great undertaking, not just the business aspect of it, but emotionally as well. You know, there's got to be passion in it. And so what makes you so passionate about it?
Okay. Some people don't really understand what domestic violence is or domestic abuse is. If I could just tap on that a little bit.
Sure, absolutely.
Contrary to popular belief, domestic violence is more than the physical side of abuse. We have different forms. There's different forms, and it's emotional and psychological abuse. And you have, this, of course, the physical side, and you have the economic side of abuse. Why I'm passionate about helping women that are abused is because I am a survivor of domestic violence. I walked away from an abusive marriage about 8 years ago. I believe September will be 8 years now, this year, 8 years. And I didn't know what to do, actually, when I left. I didn't know that there were shelters for domestic violence victims what, didn't even know that really there was a hotline for it. I was
right.
really, really clueless.
Amelia?
I'm here. I'm sorry.
No problem. Just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Just wondering if we had some kind of little pause going on here. But back, you know, to the forms. Well, I guess I should just do. Would you like for me to just tell you a little bit of my story?
Sure. I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was married for about 7 years to a guy. Maybe we were together for about 10. I don't usually count the years that we were shacking up. and I kind of dismissed the signs early on. And the jealousy, the controlling, because domestic violence is definitely about control. And I ignored those signs because I really thought, I guess I thought he loved me. So, you know, if he's a little jealous of me, he loved me. And the first few years, the marriage was okay. And I think the last 3 years is when I really started experiencing the abuse. I started school.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to college, actually, to get an associate's degree. And he didn't like that. He smashed my laptop because he said that he felt that I was going to be smarter than him and that I was going to find someone at the university that was smarter than him and start dating.
So you noticed temper, you know, you noticed a temper that was there by him, you know, throwing that object. So that was a sign.
Yes. Yes, it was. And I was upset because, of course, I just started school and I had homework on the laptop, and he acted like it was nothing. He said, "I'll just get you another one." And that was another thing. Financially, material things, I had just about anything anybody can imagine. Or anything that a woman would want. He didn't have any problem with showering me with gifts or anything like that. But it was a real issue whenever I left the house. To go to work, he would call. My husband worked at night. And so from the time getting up in the morning, getting dressed, and walking out of the house, I would be on the phone with him. Until I pull in the parking deck and walk into the office, because he wanted to be sure that I made it in that office. And during the day, he would call off and on. You know, he would call often
right.
to make sure I was there.
Well, what was on your mind? What did you think when, you know, he was so possessive like that, you know, making sure he took you to work and constantly having you on the phone? What was going through your mind? Did you think, like, you know, maybe this is a problem?
I thought it, but I didn't see it as a big problem. And I really didn't see it as a big problem, but a problem. It got on my nerves. But I was the type that didn't really want to rock the boat or cause any problems with any relationship. I wanted to be married, so I didn't question or really fight back. Every now and then I would say something back, but I didn't, you know, rock the boat at all. Those signs of wanting to know my every move, even when I visited family, he would call. Say I'm going to my sister's house to call, and he would stay on the phone until I got there. And then he would say, "Why don't you tell such and such?" I said, "Hello." He just wanted to hear the voice.
Uh-huh.
That made, you know, that meant that I was there. I went where I said I was going, to be with my siblings. And he would call and tell me, "I need to come home after about 30 minutes. It's time for you to come home." The other controlling thing about him was he didn't want me to have any friends. And that's another sign. Not isolation. Not wanting you to have friends, not wanting you to be around your family. They want to cut people out of your life. Out of your life. So,
so that's one of the signs.
Yes, the isolation.
Isolation, controlling. I hope if there's anyone out there, if you're experiencing any of what Amelia's talking to us about tonight, please, it is cause for pause. You do need to take note of it.
I remember whenever I would go to the grocery store, and this is the finance side of it, he would give me a certain amount of money and say, okay, this is enough for you to shop with. He'll call on my way to the store, and once I made it in the store, you know, he'd get off the phone for just a few minutes, and then he'll call me back. And so you still at the store? Well, you've been there about 30 minutes. You should be heading on, you know, back home. Okay, well, you know, I'll be there shortly. And then he'll get off the phone, call back, and he'll actually stay on the phone until I made it to the house, back home.
And you didn't think, how long did it take for you to say, you know, I really think that there is something going on here, that this is a real problem?
You know what, when I really, the problem came when he left the house for like 3 days. He stayed away from home for 3 days. I didn't know where he was. I was upset. And so one day, the third day, I went out searching for him. And we had some property in Peachtree City, and I ended up going to that property. And he was inside the house asleep. Of course, there was no furniture there because we were hoping to rent it out. And I didn't say anything to him. He woke up, he glanced up at me and then closed his eyes. I walked out, and I said a few hours later, he came home, and he came in the house. He walked up the stairs, and I walked behind him, and I asked him, where were you the past 3 days? He turned around and punched me in my jaw.
Mm.
When he punched me in my jaw, I kind of ran past him on up the stairs, and I am a gun owner. I retrieved the gun. I pulled the gun on him, and I tell you something, ladies, if you are a gun owner, do not pull a gun out unless you intend on using it.
Good advice.
Well, I was going to use it, but I didn't have time. He took that gun. He twisted my wrist, and I released the gun, and he held the gun on me with the trigger cocked, and he stomped, and he kicked me. He stomped, he kicked, he stomped, he kicked. I didn't scream out because my son was in the other room, and I was afraid that if he came out, he would probably kill him, me, and who knows, probably himself. My son eventually came out of the room, and we had these double doors to our master bedroom, so the doors were open wide. And he walked past, and he said, Mom, are you okay? But I rolled over, and I managed to raise myself up on the bed, and I said, I'm fine. He said, are you sure? Then he asked my husband, why do you have that gun? And I can't recall what he said, but my son looked back over at me and he asked me again, are you okay, Martin? Are you sure? And I said, yes. Well, he went on downstairs and a few minutes later came back up, asked again, and then I said, Mom's okay. Just go to your room. And he did. So that was the point. That at that point there, I said, okay, I'm going to have to go, because he hit me, he kicked me, he stomped me, and I tell you, I really thought he was going to kill me. When I tried to leave, he disconnected the cables to the car. Mind you, we had 13 cars, So not all of the cars were at the house, but they were lined up. So, you know, as long as two of the cars in the driveway were disconnected or not, I couldn't get in anyway to go anywhere. So, I begged and asked, you know, just please let me go. And finally he let me go. We went to a hotel, my son and I, and my father called. He convinced me to go back. I went back that evening, but I left my son in a hotel. And from that point on, I started planning my way of escape.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, because of, in the beginning, it sounds like, you know, he never put his hands on you in the beginning. It was mostly, you know, just being controlling and possessive. And so I'm taking it that because he had never actually physically, you know, put his hands on you, you didn't think that you had a real serious problem. It sounds like once he physically placed his hands on you, you realized, hey, I've got a real problem here and I need to get away. Women that are out there hearing this, don't wait until the person becomes physical, especially if they're very controlling. As Amelia described, the constant phone calls, following everywhere you go, calling, trying to get confirmation on where you're at, you know, just constantly trying to be in control and possessive. Please take note of that. That's serious in itself. You don't want to get to the point where that person becomes physical because you may not survive that.
Right.
Yes.
There was a time, Lee and Renee, he would accuse me of cheating. That's another thing, the jealousy part. And cheating with the neighbor next door. Whenever I go outside to garden, because I like to go out once the sun sets, and he would get so upset. So that I was out there because the neighbor was home and me and the neighbor were seeing each other. Another time was let me tell you, 13, and let me go back, I'm sorry. 13 months after that, shoving me to the floor and stomping and kicking me, 13 months after that, I left. No, it was 9 months after that I ended up leaving him. And from that day on, although I still wanted my marriage to work, he would do things that were out of the ordinary for me. Had his telephone. See, he was cheating. He was the one cheating with pointing the blame on me. Yes. He would hide his telephone. As soon as he would come home from work, on the weekend, he would turn the phone off and keep it in the glove compartment. And he would leave during the day on the weekends to work on vehicles. That was like a side hobby that he liked. But he didn't want me to be out of the house. I needed to stay home. He even told me when I should watch TV. I couldn't get on the telephone after 8 o'clock at night. And not to open the door while he was asleep in the house.
So let me say this. Now in retrospect, when you look back, do you see where what would you say was your problem in this? Because what happens, and this is just not, you know, this is all of us when we're going through certain things, we do have a part to play because ultimately we are the ones in control. What do you think was hindering you from, you know, gaining the necessary strength to look at what was going on as an adult in that situation where, you know, he was trying to tell you what to watch on television and those type things? It had to be something going through your mind that was saying, you know what, this is just not right. Or was did this happen after, through your planning process of leaving? Had you already decided to leave, or was this something that was going on that brought you to the place of leaving? I guess my main question is, what do you think stops people from, you know, taking a look at this and saying, you know, wait a minute, this really isn't right. There is something wrong with this. I am an adult and shouldn't be controlled this way. Did you think on those lines? And if so, what do you think was hindering you from, you know, taking control yourself?
I don't believe that I love myself, for one. And I wanted to be married and I wanted to be loved. And not knowing what love really is, you allow things. But, of course, right after the incident with the gun, I had made up my mind that I was going to leave. It didn't matter what he did. I didn't care how nice he was, you know, was, what he gave me. I didn't care about that. I knew that I was leaving. So I started saving every penny.
Yeah.
I actually saved $13,000 in 9 months. I had intended on leaving the January, but I end up walking out that September. And I'm going to tell you what was the final straw. And we don't set boundaries. I thought I had, but I didn't stick with it, I suppose, because I was warned by family members that he would beat me. And I laughed it off as if it was a joke. Oh, he's not going to do anything with me. I don't play that.
What I wanted to say is I want to let the callers know to call in with any of your questions concerning domestic violence. Some of you may be going through some of what Amelia's been talking about tonight, and she's here to help you with, you know, providing information that could help you to get on your feet. I hope you're being encouraged by her story and you know, the fact that she went through and she came out, and so can you. What made you, Amelia, say, you know what, I need to start something, an organization to help other women with this? I mean, I know it's probably your personal story, but a lot of people go through domestic violence, but they never, it's not on their heart to really, you know, maybe do something on the lines of what you're doing. I think it's a great undertaking. When did you start Caring is Doing for Others?
I started Caring is Doing for Others about 5 years ago, but we received our status, the 501c3 status, back in August 2014. I had a book signing, and after the book signing, I had women walk up to me, and they shared pieces of their stories. One lady walked up to me and she said that my husband, he tried to drown me. Mm. Another lady said, my husband, he's trying to run me over with his truck.
Wow.
See, what I know is women that abuse, they are not as open. They are not going to share with you what's going on at home.
unless they feel or know that you've been through it. Now, you can sit down and you can do all the research that you want to do and come off as you're very knowledgeable about domestic violence. But they can tell.
Yes.
That it's all, all of the information you have is due to your research and not really that you were once a victim.
Right.
And because I didn't know where to go once I left, I went to a hotel, actually. Let me tell you a little bit about that. For a week, my husband, I feel like I was tortured, but not physically. It was all psychological for sure. When we were in the house and I would take a shower, he would come in the shower, in the bathroom, stare at me. I felt very vulnerable because in the shower you can't have a gun and, you can't hide a gun because we got this glass everywhere you can just see through. Whenever I would walk down the stairs, he would walk really closely behind me. I felt as though he was going to push me down the stairs. Sleepless nights, and one night I came home. My son asked me. He said, "Mom, are you okay?" I said, "I'm really tired." He said, "Why are you so tired?" I said, "Because I can't sleep." I'm just gonna say Israel is his name. He won't allow me to sleep, and he said, "Well, you know what, Mama, go to sleep, and I'm gonna watch you." I said, "Okay." So I dozed off, and I guess I slept for maybe an hour or two. When I got up, I went upstairs, started trying to prepare for bed. And my son said, "Mom, let's sleep in the guest bedroom. I'm gonna sleep in there with you." And I said, "Okay." Well, time my ex-husband, he was in the bed sleep. As we were in the room, for a few minutes, he knocks on the door, and he was like, "Let me in." And I said, "No, could you just please leave? Because I'm not going anywhere. Open the door." So my son said, "I'm going to open the door." He got up, he opened the door. And he walked in the room, and I stood up. He got in my face, and he said, "What are you doing here? You need to come to the bedroom." And I said, "No, I'm not. You can just go back to the bedroom. I'm not coming in." Now, the night before, I dozed off on the recliner downstairs, and when I woke up, he had a butcher knife cleaning his fingernails. I asked him, "Why are you standing over me with that knife?" He said, "Don't you worry about it." So the next morning, while he was asleep, I took all the knives in the kitchen and I wrapped them in a towel and I hid them deep down in the deep freezer under the meat. All right, back to the next night. He took off his ring. He threw the ring at me as he was walking out the door and he slammed the door. So my son, John, he locked the door, and a few minutes later, he started knocking on the door again. So by that time, my son said, "Mom, I have the phone on 911. I'm going to call 911. I said, "Okay, but bring the phone to me." He said, "Okay." So I was laying on the bed. And I said, "In my purse, there's a knife. So you can get the knife out of the purse." But I had my gun up under a pillow. So the operator was on the line, and she asked me what was going on, and I said, "Oh, my husband, he's trying to get in the room, and I'm afraid he's going to come in. It's not going to be pretty." So she said, she asked questions. I said, "I can't talk to you." So I placed the phone up under the pillow. Before I knew it, he had jimmied the lock. He came in so fast. My son jumped up in front of, in his face. Now, mind you, my son is not his child. And he was 15 or 16 at the time. And he stood there. And I'm sitting on the bed, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do? But I tell you what, if he hits my son, that's it. We're going to have to kill him. That's all I was thinking about. We were going to have to kill him. Because I wasn't going to die that night, me and Renee. No. I had it. And he was not going to hurt my son. And you can do whatever you want to do to me, but I'm not going to let you hurt my child. So my son, he wouldn't move. So my ex said, why don't you move out the way? My son didn't say a word. My ex finally turned around, went out. I grabbed the phone. My son locked the door, and the doorbell, someone was ringing the doorbell. When I picked the phone up and said hello, the operator said the cops are there. Go and open the door. I said, no, I'm not going down there. And she asked me if he had a weapon. I said, I don't know if he has one or not, but I do. All right. To make a long story short.
How old was your son during this time?
He was about 16. 16. And let me tell you this.
He was the guardian angel that night. Awesome.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, after the cops came in, there was about five cops there. You know, they convinced me to leave. They said there was nothing they could do because there were no leaks passed. So they convinced me to leave with my son, and we did. The best thing about it was they wanted my gun. They checked the gun out. They gave me my gun back with the bullets. And they said, we called some other cops. So while you're on your way, if they stop you, they know it's you, you know, so it's going to be all right. Just go where you're going. Don't turn your phone on. Turn your phone off. And here you go. I didn't even know that my phone could be tracked. But the cop said, yes, he can, yes. Turn the phone off because he can track your phone and find out where you are.
Did you have to go to an organization like yours to have a restart? Well, I'll tell you what, before we get into that, because I do have some other questions, callers, this is an opportunity for you to call in with any questions. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Amelia, I do have some other questions for you. We'll pick it up right after this message.
How am I ever going to finish this book? First, there's writer's block. Then there never seems to be enough time in my day to work on it, and then I don't know how to put my thoughts together. What do I do? I know. We call EX3 Books. They specialize in helping writers go from concepts to published books. EX3 Books team helps with outlining, editing, marketing, and so much more. No time like the present. Let's see. www.ex3ent.com. Yeah, www.ex3ent.com. Let me get this information so I can fulfill my dream of becoming a published author. You should too.
I'm Carrie Washington. One in four women will be a victim of domestic violence. Finances are almost always a weapon of choice, taking away access to cash, destroying credit, jeopardizing jobs. Financial abuse leaves invisible bruises that can take decades to heal. But there's hope. Allstate Foundation Purple Purse makes it easier to recognize, talk about, and stop financial abuse. Help women gain control of their purse strings. Join me at purplepurse.com.
You're listening to The Soul Speaks on the EX3 Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Soul Speaks with Lynn Renee and our guest, Amelia Miller. We are talking about domestic violence. Amelia has given us her testimony of all that she has gone through relating to domestic violence, and I hope those of you that have been listening have taken note of the things that were going on even before it got to the physical part of domestic violence, the controlling, the jealousy and
isolation.
All of those things are important to take note of. When you see those things happening, please think about it. Note that, you know, there's something wrong with that. And so you don't want to wait until, you know, it gets to that physical part, because Amelia has come through a few things that could have caused her to no longer be here with us. And I'm so thankful that God brought her through, because she had some close calls. If you're listening and you have maybe something like this going on and you want some information, please call. Let us know. I'm sure Amelia can share some information with you that could help you to get the help that you need. I think the question that I asked Amelia was, if you had to go to an organization like Caring is doing for others to get the assistance that you needed to get back on your feet.
I did not. I had no clue that there were shelters, organizations out there that would help me. That night when we left, we were trying to find the nearest hotel. I was too embarrassed to really talk about it with anyone. We did make one call, and that was to one of my brothers, and to let him know that we left. And my brother wanted me to thank my son for standing up to his stepdad. And when I told my son what my brother had said, he said, all I can think about was how I was going to kill him. Now, that's coming from a 16-year-old. When I tell you that thing stuck with me, that is the reason at that time why I did not go back.
Now,
had my son not said that, I probably would have went back because of finances, you know, that part of it.
So when it comes to Caring is doing for others, well, what made you start it? I mean, how did you begin with the organization? And what does it, you know, how does it help others?
Okay.
Transition.
I had no idea that I was going to be the CEO of an organization, domestic violence, any organization for that matter. But I was really lost. And I was so down and depressed. Probably 2 to 3 years after I left, because I was also stalked by my ex-husband. And through prayer, crying, fasting, listening, and getting a close relationship with the Lord, asking God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want from me? And it was placed in my spirit that I'm supposed to help women that were abused. So I decided to do all the research I could, you know, gather up all the research and start this Caring is Doing for Others, where I can start having support groups where women can open up and not be afraid to tell, not be ashamed to tell their story. If they need to leave, I can't really. I can give them the resources to call Partners Against Domestic Violence. .org is an organization here in Atlanta. I can also give you my website where they can call. I mean, I'm going to the website, email us, and I can also give out a phone number where they can reach me
personally, and I can help them. I don't really like to say too much publicly what I can do, because it's kind of like, you know, we probably have some male listeners out there that are abusers, and to me that's putting it a step ahead of what we are trying to do.
Right. So you can give out, though, your website.
Yes, it's CIDFO. It's the acronym for Caring is Doing for Others, CIDFO.org is the website address. I have a support group on Facebook, Amelia Speak Up Miller. We also go into transition homes, and we do workshops for women on basic budgeting, vision board, and tips on how to become a writer.
Okay.
And because we're a small organization, I said we're a small organization with big hearts, we are kind of limited right now with the other things that we would like to do. We're thankful for Walmart. They've been very helpful in helping us with providing the New Beginnings baskets that we provide to graduates of Transition Home. They have to be in the program for 12 months, and they are actually substance abuse survivors and domestic abuse survivors. And then at the end of the year, between October and December, we collect new and used blankets, and we have a project that's called Blanketing the Homeless. So this year will be our third year doing that.
And you
the
get
name of the organization.
You get volunteers, I think, and you go out and give out the blankets to those that are and coats to those that are homeless.
We do. You know, the name of the organization originally was Choose Victory Over Violence. But I said I can't just, you know, limit myself to giving because I'm a giver, and I thank God for that. So I have a really, really soft spot for homeless individuals. So, of course, yes, we go out. We had about 75 or a little over 75 people to volunteer last year. We collected over 100 and something blankets, and we went out and we blanketed the homeless. And what we usually do is we go the Christmas Eve or Christmas during the night, and we look for individuals. Well, because last year there was a sniper out that were killing homeless individuals, we
right.
decided to do it during the day. But we'll collect the blankets and coats.
And this information is on your website. Do you keep this information on your website so if someone would go out there, we would know, you know, what you're doing at this time and how to get involved?
Yes, we are up to date
with
the website. Yes, we are up to date with the website. And we also, 3 to 4 times a year, we go out and we give out personal hygiene items. It's called a hygiene clean bag. And, you know, it's toothbrushes, toothpaste, washcloths, you know, just things to keep them, you know, where they can go in and wash themselves up. And canned goods, non-perishable, like Diana sausages, peanut butter, crackers, and that type of thing we give also.
That's an awesome work that you're doing, and it's much needed. When you also, if you're not able, do you have information on other organizations that can help someone say, you know, you don't have room or in your organization or, you know, maybe this particular shelter that you deal with, do you have a lot of information about other shelters that people could go to? Do you connect with them as well? Just for informational purposes or resource purposes?
I usually deal mostly with transition homes,
okay.
And they're private. Yeah, but I can refer an individual to the transition home. As far as the shelter, we feed some of the homeless individuals in shelters maybe once a year, and that's it. But I usually work with transition housing.
Now, you said that they spend 12 months in the program. And
yes.
What's taking place in that time? You know, what do they go through? What's the program like?
Counseling. Bible studies, life skills, learning how to get a job, interviews, obtain, you know, that type of thing. And of course, the organization welcomes you, well, they welcome me to come in and do some things. And again, we are actually in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a workshop on basic budgeting. So that type of thing is really life skills and counseling and keeping it clean.
Do you help? Well, yes, of course, you help them get to a place where they can get out on their own. And
usually what the transition house do,
right.
they help them with that, yes. And sometimes they leave, like we had a graduation a week ago, and some of them go home to family members. Because, you know, when you're in a transition house for like 12 months, you it's really hard to save up money because most of the time they're only getting minimum wage jobs. So it's hard for them to save up the money they need to go into a place on their own.
Now this particular house,
and they
house,
need there to go. Mm-hmm.
Is it just for women? I should say this transitional.
Yes, yes. The one that I've adopted is women only.
Okay. And what about
no children, no. But women only? Yes.
So we can go, give me your website again so that if anyone's looking for any help, if you're a woman out there and you need some information, you need someone to talk to, some place to go, some resources, please take a look at this website. And again, it's Caring for Doing.
Caring is Doing for Others.
So
and the website is?
Go ahead.
CID, as in David, FO, Inc.org.
Okay, that's CIDFO, Inc.org. Caring is Doing for Others.
Yes. And then we have a support group on Facebook as well. And it's you can look it up by Amelia Speak Up Miller. And it's private, so you don't have to worry about anyone, you know, going in about your business or what you're going through.
I think that, I know you mentioned that most women don't like to talk to anyone about what they're going through, but it's important that somebody knows. It's not something that I think that you should keep to yourself.
You know, when you tell someone that you're going through abuse, they always have something to say that you are not ready to hear. And when my ex-husband stomped and kicked me, my daddy said, well, you know, honey, I know about that. You know, but you need to go back. You need to make it work. So what happens when you tell someone that you're going, you know, you're experiencing abuse and they tell you to go back home. I actually stopped talking to my dad for nearly a year because he said to go back. And I said, you know what? I want you to think about something, Dad. How many women do you think are dead today because someone told them to go back? And they did. I'm tired. I need peace of mind. I'm not going back. And I did not.
Yeah. And you, yeah, and bad information can come from anybody, as you can see. But so besides your dad, you know, did you have anybody that you were able to tell and that, you know, gave you some level of understanding or some information, you know, like, hey, Amelia, this is something that you need to get away from?
No, because, again, it took me a few years before I opened up and shared my experience with people. My best friend, she was there for me, by my side. She gave me a place to stay. And she was just there. She listened.
Right.
She didn't give much advice. And that's another thing, you know, you go and you want to talk, and you, the beginning of your this show, well, it was a little different, but you know, people are so eager to speak but not to listen. They don't take the time to listen. And so when you go and you want to talk about something, you don't always want to hear what the other person's got to say. You just want to get it out. Let me tell you what's going on. You know, and then here's the other thing. I don't believe that he's that way. No, it can't be true. He seems so nice.
Wow.
And then you feel like nobody believes you. So what's the use? Why should I talk about it? I'll keep it to myself. And that's what I did. You know, outside of my son, my best friend, and then, you know, as time lapsed, you know, some family members. And then again, you know, you involve some people, then they get upset and they want to go and take matters in their hands too, because I had to go through that too.
You say tonight to those women out there that may be experiencing what you've gone through or something similar, knowing all that you know and have gone through, what would you tell them to actually do? What advice would you give them based on your experience?
First, I want them to know that it's not their fault. Nobody has a right to put their hand on you. The other thing is, we're in this together. You may not know me, but I'm telling you, I am here for you. And Larry Nay, I want to give out my phone number. They can reach me. This is actually my personal phone number. they can reach me at any time. And if there's something I can't do, I promise you, I will find out what we can do to help you. And my number is 404-593-5983.
That's 404-593-5983. If you're listening and, you know, someone that's going through domestic violence, if it's you yourself, you have an advocate that has been through probably a lot of what you're going through, that's willing to talk with you and counsel with you and give you some information to help you, her name is Amelia Miller, and her number, 404-593-5983. And let me tell you, there's not many people out here today that give of themselves in this way. A lot of times you feel like there's nobody out there for you, and this is a prime example that good people are still out there. People that care are still out there. It's so apropos for her organization to be named Caring is Doing for Others. And so she's willing. Please, you be willing. If you're having problems and if you're involved in domestic violence, it's time to get out. Get out before someone gets hurt. You know, you can muster up the courage. Don't be afraid. I know fear a lot of times causes us not to, you know, make a move. But, you know, as I've heard, fear is false evidence that appears real. And God has not given you the spirit of fear. So that spirit of fear does not come from God, but he's given you something more powerful, which is love and courage. So you can get through this. You know, if you are isolated, you've got to tell someone, and you know what's right and wrong. Hopefully no one will give you, you know, information that's not going to help you through this. So, you know, sometimes friends don't want to get involved because, you know, a lot of times women go back to that situation.
Yes.
But listen, friends, be a friend. Don't stop. Don't give up because they continue to go on with this person. You know, don't leave them out there alone. So, Amelia, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. Our time is coming up where we've got to go. And, man, I thank you so very much for coming on the show and sharing, giving us your testimony. I know that it has been inspiration to someone to see that with all that you've come gone through, that you've come through. And a lot of times people think that they can't get through it, but you're a living witness that you can get through this. And you did, and not only did you get through it, but you turned around and you're holding your hand out to help to pull someone else through. And so I thank you so much for that as well. Listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in as always. Listen, make sure you tune in next week. John Lewis will be back with us. He's the person that spoke to us 2 weeks ago, I believe, about the serpent brain. We had an awesome discussion. And he will be back next week. We're going to talk about divine astrology. That is something that, you know, in the Christian arena, we have some, you know, discrepancy about. And I think it's because of all that we've been taught. But you've got to tune in for this. This is going to be awesome. Also, tonight at 10 p.m., the C. Nathaniel Brown Show will be coming on a different channel, which is ex3radio.com. So you want to tune in for that as well. It's going to be an awesome show tonight. It's your world, as I always say. Create something good. And with that being said, have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for sharing your soul's expression with Lynn Renee. For more of The Soul Speaks, join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the EX3 Radio Network.